I was listening at my tape, and Sister Barnett, I call you Sister Barbara. excuse me, I mess up sometimes. Good names. I was listening. I said, no wonder she looked at me funny when I said, Sister Barbara, I'm back. I'm grateful to have my son and my two little grandboys back with us. Amen. Thought he was going to get up and say something for himself. I didn't. Amen. But however, we're grateful to all of you. On today, I would like to call our attention to the book of Titus. That's in the New Testament right after Timothy. Amen. Just before I believe I leave. All the way back. Book of Titus. Again, we're just grateful to God for each of you today. Amen. Continue to pray for all of those who are sick and set in. Pray for our country.
Amen.
Because our country is in a mess.
Terrible.
And I'm not just talking about the wall.
No, sir.
There's a whole bunch of mess going on.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's actually going against God's word. In the second chapter of the book of Titus, everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
Everybody need a little more time. Say, hold on a minute. Look like everybody with me. All right. And Titus chapter number 2, I want to read verses 1 through 5. And it reads, but as for you, I'm reading from the New King James Version, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. That old men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, and love, and patience.
Amen.
I am just going to be on verse number 3 through 5. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things.
Amen.
That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemaker, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God our Father, we thank you for another opportunity to stand. We pray now that you allow your Holy Spirit to move freely in our midst. And then grant us a fresh anointing of your Spirit. And then that anointing by that speaking power. And Lord, we be careful to give you all the praise. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus Christ. Our Lord, we pray. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanders, not given to much wine, teach them good things, that they admonish the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. I want to talk for a few minutes from the subject, God's way for women.
Amen.
We talking to women today.
Amen.
God's way for women.
Amen.
So let me begin by saying again, Happy Mother's Day to all mothers, and perhaps even mothers to be. My brothers and sisters, thank you, Hershes. I believe that there is no better way to honor the women of the Mount Olive Church as well as our guests. Than to lift up today some great truth that God inspired to be written in His Word for your benefit. Because I believe you'll agree with me that Satan has pointed all the artilleries of hell at the home in order to destroy the family.
Amen.
Just think about it. Right now, the Supreme Court is looking at whether to uphold same-sex marriages.
Amen.
While some states have already made it legal. But it never was and never is intended for two men or two women to become husband and wife. God ordained it from the beginning that a man and a woman was to make up the husband and wife team. And the reason they did it for the opposite sex in order to populate the earth.
Amen.
Two men can have children, nor can two women.
Amen.
Just think about it. These sins along with all the other sins were hatched in hell.
Yes.
And they all have two things in common. Number one, they are on the rise. And number two, they are aimed at destroying the family as God has ordained.
Amen.
But the good news today is that God has a plan.
Yes, sir.
And so when all else fails, we need to read the directions in God's manual, His Word, the Bible. Now, I like the way the old King James Version renders verse 1. It says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Note that word become. Have you ever told someone that their outfit is very becoming? Well, that word become in verse 1 means that she beautifies sound doctrine. Then we know that in verse number 10, it uses the word adorn. Now, adorn in original Greek is where we get the word cosmetics in English. And so let me say to all ladies this morning, if you really want to be beautiful, not just outwardly, but also inwardly, you need more than Mary Kay and Merle Norman, but yes, Lord. You need to live God's way and according to God's plan.
Amen.
Now that means you need to put the lipstick of a kind tongue on, the blush of purity and innocence, the foundation of godliness, the eyeliner of compassion, and the mascara of sincerity. In summary, yes, Lord. This text will reveal that God uses many items from cosmetology in order to show both men and women God's way. But this morning on this Mother's Day, we want to focus our attention on God's way for women.
Amen.
And it's my hope this morning, Sister Crowell, that every woman here and perhaps those listening by way of radio will leave with a bag full of spiritual cosmetics. With an irresistible spiritual attraction that will catch the eyes of the lost world beyond those doors as we talk from the subject, God's Way for Women. And so with your prayers, I won't be long. Just permit me to lift my four things in your hearing as we talk from that subject, God's Way for Women, and they are her mandate, her motive, her manner of life, and her message. And so first, let's look at her mandate. Note verse 3 and 4 reveals that her mandate is to teach the young women. Now, ladies, there's no way around it, because what the young women of Mount Olive is to learn about Christian womanhood, they are not to learn primarily from the pulpit, from me as a preacher, but rather from the older women of the church. Do you see it in the text? Note verse 3 and 4 says in plain and simple terms, it says, tell the older women to behave as those who love the Lord, and they must not gossip about others or be slaves of wine, but they must teach what is proper so that the younger women will be loving wives and mothers. Now this speaks to the single as well as married mothers. And so here we see that older Christian women have a God-given responsibility to teach the young women of the church. But now the younger women also have a responsibility according to this passage, and that is to listen to the older women who are teaching things that are right and avail themselves to their wisdom.
Amen.
But now, in order for the younger women to respect and listen to the older women of the church, the older women must be examples of what they teach.
Amen.
And that's why verse 3 says that the elder women are to be reverent in behavior. In other words, behave as women who love the Lord,
yes,
not slanderers. In other words, women who are always gossiping and talking about everybody.
Yes.
But they are to teach good things. And the bottom line, if your life is messed up and you're always negative about others, you won't be able to tell anybody anything, no matter how old you may be,
Amen.
Because they will not listen. now. I'm not talking about your past life before you came to Jesus, because we all have a past. And perhaps some of our past we might be ashamed of, but what's past is past, and we can't change our past. But I'm talking about right now, since you've been saved. Because as mature Christian women, you are to be examples and teachers of the younger women. And that's God's way for older, mature Christian women. And so the question is, who's teaching the younger Christian women today? Who's shaping their family values? And I'm afraid in many cases it's the celebrities and others who've been married 15 to 20 times, or who've never been married, trying to tell young women about family values. Amen. They say if you're not happy and satisfied with that old goat, just divorce him. Because you can do bad by yourself. After all, you have a right to be happy. But we need some older Christian women who have been married for years to step up and say, no, what you have is a right to keep your commitment. You have a right to keep your marriage vows before God when you say it, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, until death do your part. Let me put a pin here, because, yes, Lord, I'm not talking to women who are being abused by their husbands. I'm not talking to those who are getting black eyes every weekend and in the emergency room all the time. You need some help, and perhaps you need to get rid of that joke. Because, yes, no, God doesn't expect you to live under those conditions. But we need some older women who have been married for years to step up and say to those who are having some problems and difficulties in their marriage, to say to them, we've had our share of problems and difficulties over the years, and perhaps ones that are bigger than the ones you are dealing with, but our marriage is still working because our commitment to our vows we made before God. Yes, then the world says, yes, Lord. Say to our young women, if you have an unplanned pregnancy, then simply destroy the evidence through abortion. But older women must respond and tell them that the circumstances which surround a pregnancy do not determine the value of a child. Because some of you can say from experience that you had an unplanned pregnancy. But you can say now, but let me tell you what my child has done with his or her life. And the surprises about them goes on day after day. Amen. But I want to say, like my friend Dr. Joshua Jodara at Zion Hill Church in Pineville, Louisiana, who always say, ain't no shame in my game. I'm saying that because I'm about to share something with you that very few people know, because my late mother had an unplanned pregnancy from a sex that was forced upon her. And men wanted her to get rid of the evidence, but she refused. My daddy even had to do some time because of this. But guess what? I led him to Christ and I preached his funeral. Are you here with me? 3 years after my mother would have allowed shame to cause her to destroy the evidence through abortion, that would never have been a Reverend Dr. Carl Ray Armstead, the pastor of the Mount Island Missionary Baptist Church. Yes, Lord, and I would not have been able to stand here on this Mother's Day to preach to you. But I thank God that you didn't destroy the evidence. And she was with me for some 86 years. She witnessed me preach my first sermon. And I served as a pastor for almost 10 years. And so my point is, even though you may have an unplanned pregnancy, you don't know who you're carrying. He or she could be a great scientist or a doctor who discovered the cure for cancer or some other incurable disease. He or she could be a great man or woman of God who does some great work for the kingdom. And so the bottom line is, as age of mature Christian women, if you are not investing your life in the lives of these young women by not being involved in the women ministry and other ministries that teach young women and girls, then you are not fulfilling your God-given responsibility as Christian women.
All right. All right. There, there.
Somebody say, well, why should we do this? Well, it's your mandate from the Word of God. Which brings us to the second movement of the text, and that is her motive. Now, you don't have to guess about her motive, because, again, it's right here in the text in verse 5, which says that the Word of God could not be blasphemed. But somebody may be thinking, what does that have to do with anything? Well, simply put, the best thing that you can do to improve the influence of this church located at 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana, is to help build strong families. Because every time the community hears of a family that falls apart at the Mount Island Missionary Baptist Church, it contradicts, undermines, and marginalizes what we teach and preach. It hurts our influence. We are teaching and preaching that Jesus is the answer to the world's problems, and that Jesus is a solid rock to build our marriages and keep our strong families together and strong. But for the most part, the world isn't listening. But all my brothers and sisters, they are watching what we do. And so Paul is saying here in the text that when we allow our homes in our churches to disintegrate, the Word of God is blasphemed. Meaning shame is brought on the Word of God. Now, don't misunderstand me, because we are also to help the hurting. I'm talking about the man or woman whose spouse left them. We are to encourage them to remain a testimony to the Lord by remaining in the church, remaining close to God. And that's the right thing to do, because that develops influence also. Because it's a shame when somebody is hurting right under our nose, when there's something we could have done about it, but we didn't try to do anything, and now that person or person have backslidden and given up on the Lord and given up on the church. But not only do we see her mandate and motive, but we also see her manner of life. Note verse 3 from the old King James Version. I like this rendering. It says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness. In other words, your behavior equals fragrance. You should have a fragrance of holiness emanating from you. Now, the New King James rendering of verse 3 says, the older women must be reverent. Behave as those who love the Lord. For instance, well, in the Old Testament, the priest went into the holy place to burn incense to the Lord. And even when he departs the tabernacle, he rejoins the others, the fragrance of the incense is still on his garments. Amen. And anyone who gets around him knew that he had been in the holy place. Amen. And in the same way, there is an aura, a glow about a godly woman as the beauty of Christ radiates from her life. And so the mandate is that the older women teach the younger women. Yes, Lord. The motive is that the Word of God be not blasphemed, and the manner of life is holy, wholesome, a healthy life. And then finally, I told you it would be too long, her message. Yes. But what specifically are older women to teach younger women? Well, again, it's right here in verse 4 and 5. They are to teach them to be sober and discreet, meaning to be serious-minded, level-headed, to have good judgment. And no wonder the husband in Proverbs 31 talk about how he can trust his wife. He can trust her to make good decisions, run the house well, and use time wisely. Amen. And so her message to the young women, according to verse 4, is to love your husband. Amen. Now, if you don't have a husband, I'm not talking to you, but if you got a husband, you ought to love him in spite of how things, it might be a little rocky, but you still ought to love him, huh? But you know, yes, Lord. Rebecca, I believe the problem with some women is that they have a fairy tale view of love and marriage. Meaning they're looking for Prince Charming to come and sweep them off their feet, marry them, and they'll live happily ever after with no problem, worry, nothing but love and happiness. But my brothers and sisters, that's a fairy tale of marriage. Because there aren't any perfect, trouble-free marriages. Now, there may be some good marriage, but no perfect marriages. And that's why the marriage vow states for better or for worse, for richer or for poor. Meaning each partner to hang in there for the good times as well as the bad times. The lean times as well as the bountiful times till death do us part. Now this brings up a question, that is, do you really have to learn to love? Well, now in Bible days you did. But today we fall in love and get married, and in many cases we fall right back out of love and get a divorce. But back then, it was in reverse. Because the marriage was arranged by the parents. Meaning they would choose the mate and they would become what is called betrothed. In other words, when parents arranged a marriage for their children, they assumed that love would grow out of the intimate acquaintance and sexual bonding that naturally takes place in marriage. Because they might not even know each other until they met at the wedding ceremony. Point is, they had to learn to love each other. And so even though we don't do it that way anymore, the facts remain, according to the Bible, you can learn to love your husband. Why is that? Because you can do anything God commands if you will obey and try with his help. And so as I try to move to the close, let me ask, if there's anybody here who's been married 20 or 30 years, I want you to stand on your feet. Anybody been married 20 or 30 years?
Just
stand. Husband too. I want your husband to stand in here.
All right.
20 or 30 years. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. Are you with me? Now, ladies, let me say to you, according to God's word, you are responsible to teach the young women how women say that. Come on. Stand back up, ladies. Yes, Lord. You're responsible to teach the younger women to love their husband and how they can make it in a marriage for 20 or 30 years or more.
Amen.
Now, the chances are, if you look around, those standing went through some hard times and some troubled times, just as you might be going through, but they didn't get a divorce. And yet they were able to hang on in there. You may be seated.
Amen.
Why? Because they were committed and they are committed to their vows.
Amen.
Also, we can look at the men. They also had to learn to love. Because you see two people coming together with different personalities. And many times there's a conflict and you got to learn to love. You ought to just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. They not only love each other, they also love their children, who are now parents themselves.
Amen.
Which brings up another question, do we really have to learn to love your children?
Amen.
Well, there is the modern day mothers who say, I love my child too much to spank him or her. Now, there's a mother who needs to learn what love is. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 13 and 24, he that spares the rod hates the son. Simply put, those who spare the rod of discipline don't really love their children. But those who really love their children care enough to discipline them. The Bible also says train up a child in the way that it should go. And when it is old, they will not depart. Now, they may stray off the path a little bit, but you got to continue to pray, because they're trying to find themselves. For instance, the prodigal son, he strayed away, but the father and no doubt the mother continued to pray that he would find his way back to the right path. And we all know the story, because life, struggles, and hard times caused him to come to his senses, and he went back home to the Father. And now this picture actually represents a lost sinner repenting and coming back to the Lord. Yes, I believe me, gathered here this morning, can say that you're here because of a mother's prayer. I can't speak for you, but I know my mother prayed. And so thank God for praying others everywhere. All right. Women of God, we honor you. And so doing for the women to live in a way that honors God. It must not be gossipers about others that heavy drinkers. Instead, we should teach others what is good. Old women must train the young women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and pure, to work in their homes, to do good, to be submissive to their husbands. Now, some people have a problem with that word submissive. Now, in the Greek, it actually comes from a military term, hupotassia. Now, that says that the soldier of the platoon is subject to the platoon sergeant. The platoon sergeant is subject to the first sergeant. And the first sergeant is subject to the sergeant major. And the sergeant major is subject to the lieutenant. And the lieutenant is subject, yes, Lord, to the captain and so on. We call this a chain of command. Now, you got to do that. But when it's talking about being submissive to your husband, but it means that you choose to do so because God's word says so. Are y'all here with me? And so in closing, my brothers and sisters, the home and the family is under attack today. But when all else fails, remember we need to read God's word. Not a message to the married as well as the single mothers. I told you this message and not just to the married, but also the single, telling you God's way for women. And so the mandate is that the older women teach the younger, and the younger women look to the older. The motive is that the word of God be not blasphemed or have shame brought on it. The man of life is a holy life, a wholesome, healthy life. And the message is to teach the younger women to love their husband and their children, because love is the bond that holds the family together. It was love that caused you and me to be saved today, all because God so loved the world and he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. When did he display this love? Well, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet rebelling, God gave his life that we may live. I tell you, he died on that old rugged cross, and he was buried 3 days and three nights, but right early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power and heaven and earth in his hand. Ain't God all right? Right now he's seated on the right hand of the throne of God. He's our mediator. He's our advocate. Ain't God all right?
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
Have you ever been in a situation and you were really going through? Your back was against the wall and you didn't know what to do. It seemed like everybody had their opinion about where God wanted you to be. So I cried out to the Lord, I need you to speak to me. Get away and pray.
Gotta seek his face.
Gotta seek his face.
watching everybody else be blessed. Yeah. And I'm running on with that vision. But it seems like you're in the same old place. Cause you're in the valley of decision. It seems like everybody is here.